Kevin Barker. John Schneider is a genius. Let's just say it. The Jays lineup reshuffled due to an injury to Bo Bichette. And Bo Bichette ends up getting the biggest hit of the game.
I thought the bunt was the biggest play of the game.
John Schneider, ladies and gentlemen, with the magical lineup. A 2-0 Blue Jays win over the Texas Rangers. The number is always 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590, 590-590. The Blue Jays are back to game under 500. They've got Oakland coming in for three. That should be easy. And then the Philadelphia Phillies come in. All kidding aside, Kevin, Bo Bichette, the pinch hit home run. A night where, well, frankly, I was prepared to come on this show talking about a 1-0 loss to the Texas Rangers in a game. And, you know, Texas would have got a home run to walk it off. As it is, the Jays allowed one hit. That a leadoff single. So, credit to Paxton Schultz.
No question.
Eric Lauer, Braden Fisher.
For sure. Yep. Little.
Brendan Little. And Jeff Hoffman finishing it off.
Crazy.
Kevin, Paxton Schultz and Eric Lauer. Eight strikeouts, a couple of walks, one hit. You know, we've talked a lot about the offense or the lack of offense. And obviously, this is not an offensive, you know, outburst by any stretch of the imagination. But my goodness, I mean, I gotta give it up to the hit to the pitchers tonight. I really do, because that's a bullpen day. We did not see that coming, and I mean, I can't put it any other way. Texas is not a great offensive team. They may be one of the few teams worse than the Blue Jays,
for sure.
But these guys still pitch their asses off against some guys who, as you would say, have got some numbers in the back of their baseball cards.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, John was throwing a little bit of everything at him, right? With Paxton, it was the quick arm action. It was the four-seamer cutter up, which is, you know, if you can locate, you can sort of draw that imaginary line and you can hover, you know, a little below it and a little above it, you're going to be real tough. And you add that little quick arm action, which sort of just gets on the hitter in a hurry. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. You bring Eric in, he's left-handed, sort of the same kind of thing, right? He lulls you to sleep with that little windup he's got. He's got the sneaky low 90s fastball. He's got a balanced attack with the slider, the cutter, the curveball. He'll get you 3 1/3. He turns it over to Brendan Fisher. The slider's really good, the four-seamer. It's a little bit like Paxton, right? It was the up, it was the way. It was sort of tunneling the two different pitches. Brendan Little might be the nastiest dude on earth right now with the knuckle curve. You know, it's like 13.5 Ks per nine. And then you bring Hoffman in, and everybody been yelling and screaming about throwing that heater more. He must have been listening. Because what was he doing tonight? He's throwing that heater up. He was throwing that heater away. I think good when it's 97, 98, it's tough to hit.
You know.
So, yeah.
Every now and then they listen to us.
I'm with you. You know, the lineup change had absolutely nothing to do with them winning tonight.
No, I was being tongue-in-cheek.
Nothing to do. I mean, I don't want to, you know, we're staying positive here, but you see them first two dudes have their bats?
Well, let's just, before we get to the phone lines, let's refresh what the lineup looked like.
Don't do it.
Tonight, Bo Bichette did not start because of a lower back issue. He came in and, as we said, hit the pinch hit home run to deliver victory to the Blue Jays. But the lineup was Varsho, Santander, Guerrero, Springer, Barger, Clement, Lucas, Sanchez, Stefanik. Let's see what the lineup looks like if Bo is healthy again. But let's just say that Varsho and Santander, Kevin, help me with the math here.
0-for-8 with four punchies. How's that?
That's what I thought. Yeah, 0-for-8 with four punchies.
It's okay. Stay positive. Who cares?
And a double play, the first inning double play as well. So
yeah.
The issue is still the same with the lineup, but
pitching's really good. Build them out.
They're game under 500. And as you will see later in the out of town scoreboard, like I said, if you want to pick a year to be in the American League East. This is the year to be in the American League East. I mean, it truly is. There is an immense amount of suckitude going on in the American League East this year. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. It is a tire fire. I mean, seriously, you need to put a hazmat suit on to read the out-of-town scoreboard when you're talking about the American League East teams. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590.
Who are you?
590-590 is the text line. Ryan in Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Be more excited. They won.
Let's go,
they
Ryan.
Won. Come on, Ryan.
I am excited.
There you go.
Let's go, Blue Jays, 100%. It's cool that we won. It's nice to be so ever close to 500 yet again. Let's go. Let's see if we can get it done. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I want to talk about it. It's nice to see Bo with a little pow-pow today. I'm curious if, like, I feel like there should be more urgency in either re-signing or just a decision on him as a player, to be honest. I think it's awful that Kirk got an extension before he did. I don't understand that at all. Like, aren't we looking for more power? Like, why wouldn't you want to put your money towards that? This offense is so abysmal to watch. It's so sad. I don't understand it. Like before today's game, we had a worse offense as far as runs scored than the Baltimore Orioles. Like, what's going on, man? I want to see some change. I hope Bo sticks around, and I hope they can find a way to build around him and Vladdy. Santander's got to wake up. The pitching staff was elite today. That's the only reason we won. Shout out to pitching staff. Like, man, are we going to get over 500? Doesn't feel like it because
Oakland coming in. The Athletics. I can't call them Oakland anymore. The Jays have the Athletics right where they need them or right where they want them.
You hope so. It feels like that every town. Time.
Every day. Thanks for calling in, Ryan. Ryan's comments. Yeah, a couple of things. One, signing Kirk isn't going to prevent you from signing Bo. In terms of a sense of urgency about signing Bo, you know, these guys, a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, they did get Bo's signature on that 3-year contract he's currently on. Secondly, whatever you may want to say about the Blue Jays front office, they do not usually make a lot of noise when it comes to signing these guys. So we have no idea what, if anything, has happened in the last couple of weeks or couple of months. We have no idea what, if anything, has happened after Vladdy signing his contract. Have the Jays had talks with Bo's people? Do they plan on having talk with Bo's people? Kevin, where I am right now, look, I think I've been one of the biggest Bo Bichette fans there is, but bottom line is you got to get another middle of the order bat in here, and if you're not going to hit Bo in the middle of the order, like, I just, whatever you need to do to get that other bat in here, you have to do it.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
That's
I'm
the
shocked.
Way I look at it.
Well, I'm shocked hearing that from you. I mean, you're usually the one saying hand blank checks to everybody.
Again, that's why I cautioned everybody. We have no idea whether any, the extent of the seriousness of the talks. I mean, most of us went into this year thinking Vladdy wasn't going to sign. Vladdy signed. So we have no idea, but I just get the sense that the Jays are likely to slow play this even further with Bo and, evaluate where they are at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And if they're still in it, perhaps you do let Bo go as a free agent and you say to him sort of the same thing we talked about with Vladdy. Look, go and get your best offer and bring it back to us. And then if he gets a good offer and brings it back to you and you don't want to sign him, you don't sign him.
I think you got to remember, too, what's going to happen with the front office. You know, will the ownership allow this front office to sign somebody like Bo? I mean, that's still going to be a pretty good-sized paycheck, right? I don't know if that'll take place or not.
No, and let's be clear. I think ownership realized that Vladdy's value to this franchise in terms of what it means for the team's connection with the fan base, in terms of what it means nationally. I think Vladdy's value to this franchise is viewed as being more valuable than Bo's value to the franchise. I think that's why ownership got involved so directly in this particular situation. I don't know if there would be the same level of involvement with Bo, but I think it's and Kevin brings up a good point. We don't know who is going to be back here next year making the decisions. I mean,
I think sometimes there's not anything wrong with change too. Like, you know, don't be afraid to mix it up a little bit, have it look different next year.
That's
like
a good
point. Just
have
a different vibe around the team. It's okay to do that, right? I mean, let's be honest. Like the two together hasn't, you know, bringing playoff wins to town, right? Every once in a while, you play some things out, you see how it's up. It's okay to have change. Don't be afraid.
Yep, fair point. All right. Fair point. Jordan and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, thanks, gentlemen, for taking my call. I'll keep it concise, candid, and to the point. I don't follow the Jays that much, but I do know one thing is that if they don't get another bat, and I'm talking a guy that can hit 35 to 40 home runs, they're not going anywhere. So I want to draw on your expertise, both of you guys, with respect to a farm system. Do they have 2-3 blue chip prospects they can just throw to a team? There's got to be a guy out there. I don't follow MLB as much. I'm more of an NFL guy as I get older. I'd appreciate if you guys could talk about the farm system and the possibilities of getting a real hitter to give Guerrero some protection. Because I remember when they made a run, they had Josh Donaldson, Encarnacion, Batista. I mean, they need another bat. It's imperative.
Yeah,
thank
Jordan,
you guys.
I appreciate the call. I mean, a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, they lucked out in 2015 and 2016. Because nobody thought when Jose Bautista was acquired for Robinson Diaz from Pittsburgh, nobody thought he was going to turn into Joey Bats. He didn't think he was going to turn into Joey Bats. Edwin Encarnacion was basically a throwaway from the Cincinnati Reds. No one thought he was going to turn into the Eddie that
they
we
got
saw.
Better
point
as
fact,
Jays. How about that?
In point of fact, the Jays released him. And Oakland signed him, and then the Jays got him back. So, you know, there was a certain amount of providence when it comes to the 2015-2016 Blue Jays. It wasn't like it was some grand plan that played out. They had a lot of things go their way. And yes, trading for Josh Donaldson, signing Russell Martin, those were the final pieces. Josh Donaldson in particular was the guy that kind of pulled everything together, kind of made the lineup look better. It was one of those sort of organic things that I don't think you're necessarily going to see happen all the time. Kevin, in terms of the minor league system, their best position player is a 19-year-old kid in Vancouver.
Yeah.
He looks awfully good. Mm-hmm. I at this point, I don't want to move him. I mean,
well,
I know what you
Bo.
Think of prospects, but
well, it's
I,
about
I,
Bo. If you're getting rid of Bo, you got to have somebody to play
correct.
Short.
Yeah,
soon.
Now this kid, you're going to need someone to play shortstop for 2 years
well, sure.
after Bo because he's probably 2 years away. But the point is the same. This kid looks legit. I mean, you're getting, and we can whatever people may think of prospect rankings, they do count for something. People like this kid, so he's the guy you have in the organization right now, and there's a big separation between him and everybody else. Trey Savage. Pitcher, again, a young guy, first year out of the draft. You know, for this thing to work out, you've got to have, as much as you're going to be able to spend money in free agents, you still need to have that guy who's going to come up. You need to have somebody who's going to do for you what Alek Manoah did a couple of years ago. So that's the problem with the Jays minor league system. There's not a lot there after that. You know, the Relvis Martinez, it's probably not going to get you anything.
No. Nope.
The rest
Ricky
of their
Tiedemann's
pitchers.
Hurt all the time.
Ricky Tiedemann's hurt all the time. So you're not only is your farm system short of guys that are going to come up and help you this year, quite frankly, probably next year as well. there's just not enough depth that you could put a package together to, you know, to bring in an impactful bat. As I said, the time when you're an organization that doesn't have a lot of minor league prospects, the time to do your heavy lifting is in the off season. Cause then you got, especially when you got money to spend like the Blue Jays do, you can move stuff around. I think the Blue Jays, it's going to be very tough for them to add that other middle of the order hitter that, you know, Jordan, we absolutely agree with you. They need, we've been calling for it since last off season. Getting Anthony Santander was great. It wasn't enough. It made them better than last year, we thought, but it wasn't enough. We've said that, and we're not the only ones. I think the general consensus around the game was that the Jays didn't do enough. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are with the lineup. I don't know where that other bat comes from. You know, and it's complicated now, Kevin, because you look at the American League, who's in,
everybody's
who's out,
needing the same thing.
And everybody's, you know, with the exception of Major League Baseball, the exception of a team like Miami or Colorado, maybe the Chicago White Sox, you know, there aren't a bunch of teams, Pittsburgh, I guess, there aren't a bunch of teams that are so far gone that they're going to make that type of deal for you right now. And that's the problem. The Jays need help right now. The Jays need help before they get to the trade deadline. That's the biggest issue. And
so
right now, this time of year, it's hard to
roster.
Make deals.
Well, they need to fix dudes that are already on the roster. That's what they need to do, right? I mean, you've got to figure out what's wrong with Tony. You know, hopefully it's just the two-month thing, which is sort of normal for him. Maybe June rolls around, he's much better. Vladdy needs to start slugging. Like, those two things will help. Maybe this home run will give Bo, you know, confidence that if he gets a good pitch that he can slug on, that he can start doing this that he did tonight more often. Then it'll take pressure off the Varshos of the world. You won't have to hit him third or fourth. Maybe that'll make Springer a little bit better. Maybe, you know, you get the best offensively out of Kirk. Just getting those two dudes and Tony and Vladdy raring and ready to go and blowing snot out of their nostrils for about a 2 or 3 week span at a time, that'll help a ton. But the question is, can you do it? Can you get both of them dudes hot at the same time for about 3 weeks? That's a million-dollar question. I'm not sure the coaching staff has the answer for that.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And we've talked about this in the past. Now, it is a different coaching staff in terms of the offensive side of the game. But it's not like the Blue Jays are the place where guys come to rediscover their swing. I mean, it just hasn't it hasn't been recently. As you pointed out, Kevin, slumps last a long time.
It does, but you got to be honest. I mean, the dudes right now that matters the most are very experienced. They should know their mechanics, their swing, when it's not feeling right. How do you self-correct? How do you get it back on the tracks? I mean, the last 2 days with Tony's at-bats look awful. Like, it doesn't look like, you know, he's just going through something. Jeff, they look awful.
Yeah,
that for me is sort of the worrisome part of that is like just the optics of the at bat is looking worse. It's not looking any better, and I just don't know how you fix that, right? I mean, he's missing center cut heaters, middle. They're throwing lefties against him and Vladdy like it's no big deal.
Well, I pointed that out to you today. I mean, what is Bruce Bochy telling you when he runs now? It worked out for him because he only needed the lefty to get one out, but Bruce is basically saying, you know, in the eighth inning, maybe he's going to face Guerrero and Santander. I don't really care. I mean, that's what Bruce is saying when he runs the lefty out there. Maybe he can't get the guy. It doesn't matter. I'll let him have a shot. I'll let him have a shot at Vladdy because with the three batter rule, it was going to work out that way. Paul and Pickering are on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, love the show. Big Blue Jays win. So I had an idea. And I'm not a baseball guy, so you'll tell me how dumb I am. But, you know, for Vladdy, we got to get him slugging. And I wonder about putting him in the 4 or the 5 slot where he's going to be more motivated to hit the ball in the air. You know, right now he's hitting for average and it's doing nothing for us. If he's hitting 4 or 5, those noisy fly balls he's hitting are advancing runners and bringing in runners. Because, you know, he's not Ichiro Suzuki, and that's why we don't want from him. We want slugging Vladdy, and we got to find a way to get it.
I'll pass that over to Mr. Barker. Thank you very much. I mean, Kevin, you know, Vladdy's still going to be the same dude wherever you put him in the order. I mean, hitting third, hitting fourth. The question is, does he have to hit the ball in the air more? Can you make him slug? That's essentially what the caller's asking. Can you make Vladdy slug?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Well, basically, it's timing issues. It's been that way for the last – well, it was that way last year to begin the season. It's been that way this year. You know, it's not – he's hitting the ball hard to all fields because he has talent and lots of it. It's just the all the things that take place for him to get his foot down and make contact where he needs to make contact and keep his hands inside the baseball. You know, he's not a guy that's going to hit a bunch of home runs the other way. Like, he's got to go up the middle of the pool side to be a power hitter. And to be able to do that, you got to make contact in a certain position. And these dudes are adding, subtracting, elevating heaters. They're pounding him with velocity in off the plate with two seamers, balls that are running because they know he'll get himself out because they can see that he's late just like I can see. That's why I've been saying for about the last year and a half now, he needs something else to go to when he's going through things like this. I'm okay with this, all that stuff going on when he's just destroying baseballs like he did last year from June on. Fine and dandy, do all that stuff you want to do, but it's the first 2 months of the season when the team has never needed you more. What are you going to then? To get your foot down on time and let your talent take over to up the middle to the pool side. Because everybody knows how they're trying to get you out. It's hard in, soft away. I mean, it ain't rocket science. Watch a game. How do you combat that? It's just timing-wise to stay inside the baseball. And, again, I know you don't like hearing this, but he's a trier. He sees all of his buddies not doing nothing, them not scoring runs. What's he trying to do? He's trying harder. When you try harder, you chase. You chase things you normally don't swing at. When you do that, you hit ground balls to third.
416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. The Jays have beaten the Texas Rangers 2-0, a one-hitter fired by the Blue Jays bullpen. Bo Bichette's two-run pinch-hit home run, the difference. The Jays back to a game under 500 with the Athletics in town for a three-game series starting tomorrow. We will step aside and come back with a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, which has mostly good news for the Blue Jays on this night. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
0-1. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep left field. Osuna back at the track. It is gone! Pinch hit blast, Bo Bichette! And the Blue Jays take a 2-0 lead with two outs in the ninth.
Oh, man, that was great. You know, I give the guy so much credit because, you know, to get out of here with a series win, you know, it's you're not scoring a lot. You know, it's four runs in three games. And pitching was outstanding, obviously, tonight. And it's just you needed that hit right there. You needed a base hit. The homer was great. You needed something to kind of go our way. Feels like there's been balls hit hard, balls hit to the track that hasn't really worked out for us. But, yeah, that was a good moment.
Well, it certainly was a good moment. And if this thing gets back on the right track at some point, we may be looking back at that pinch hit home run because that really did. For a game where the bullpen tossed a one-hitter and that hit was the first batter of the game, it is remarkable how it really did feel as if the Blue Jays were going to lose. Instead, they won 2-0. They win the series against a not very good Texas Rangers team right now. That doesn't matter. You're a game under 500. You're going back home. You've got the Athletics in town. I did not see that win coming. Even though it was scoreless, I did not see that win coming.
Unlike you, I was very confident, Jeff, in the ninth.
You
inning.
Were not. I was watching you. You were not. Yeah,
very
I
very confident. After Clement took the 3-1 heater away, hit it where it's pitched, got the single to right. Lucas had the really good bunt on the elevated fastball. It's not the easiest thing not to pop that thing up. You had Kirky pinch hitting and Bo pinch hitting. If not, then win. I was confident, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to go with that. Time now. I mean, I just don't. Time now to take a look at the American League East results and standings with Bet365. With Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games. You can build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game's still being played. 19+, play responsibly. Ontario only. Oh, it was a good night in the American League East for the Blue Jays. Not that the standings matter at this time of the year, of course.
Wow.
The Yankees are on the West Coast against the Angels. They're leading 1-0. Angels manager Ron Washington intentionally walked Aaron Judge in his first two at-bats, or his first two plate appearances. I mean, why not?
Smart.
Why not? The Yankees are leading that game. They're in first place in the East. They're 34-20. They've won 8 of their last 10. They've won 4 in a row. It's the Angels. They'll probably make it 5 in a row. I mean, I think we can say that. The Boston Red Sox. Jays fans, you think you're unhappy right now? I would really urge you to check out Red Sox social media if you need a yuck. The Red Sox were beaten by the Milwaukee Brewers today, 6-5. Alex Cora kind of went off in his team. Again, the Red Sox are turning into a little bit of a mess.
Does that
not
ever
as
work?
Much of a, what?
Does that ever work when a manager goes off on his team out loud?
No, no. But it
so
does keep the fans and the media happy. Well, why not? Every now and then show that you care. As bad as the Red Sox are lately, they're nothing compared to the Baltimore Orioles. They are putrid. They lost 6-4 to the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Minnesota Twins 5-0. So, folks, here is your American League East. And we should just start calling it the American League Least. The Yankees in first place, as I mentioned, 34. Let's make it 35-20 because they're playing the Angels. Why not? The Rays are 28-27. That's good enough for second place, 6.5 games back. Again, not that the standings matter. Barker's Blue Jays are 27-28. They are once again a game under 500. Barker's Red Sox are 27-31. And Barker's Orioles are 19-36.
Wow.
They are not good.
Huh. It's early.
It's never that early. Those are the standings brought to you by Bet365. And as we mentioned, the Yankees are still playing the Angels. I just think that was funny, intentionally walking Judge in the first. The fans are booing. Fans are booing Wash. You think Wash doesn't care?
No.
Wash is going to.
He's trying to win.
Doesn't care.
It's the only chance he's got to win it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Although I would love to be in the post-game news conference when he's asked about it, because Wash's post-game news conferences are great.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, they are pretty good. Shlomo in Scarborough, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, my friend. So just listening to you guys talk about contracts and how much money the Jays have to spend. You guys probably heard the news with Chief Pelley and the Leafs presser talking about making some cuts and being a little more efficient with their spending. So I did some research here. The Leafs are worth $2.8 billion USD. The Jays are worth $2.1 billion. The Leafs have right now less than a third of the payroll of the Blue Jays. I just don't understand how the Blue Jays, who haven't been at least we can't call them a successful team, but they do have winning seasons year after year and make it to the playoffs year after year and have a more valuable brand, are facing budget cuts while our Blue Jays aren't, especially when you see the fact that this front office hasn't been too good at spending. There's just this offseason with over $10 million committed to Scherzer, Santander, and Andreas Jimenez, producing less than a negative war, 0.5 war, maybe less today. That was a couple days ago. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Shlomo, good call, and I appreciate the call. I did hear Keith Pelley's news conference, and, of course, the background of all this is we are led to believe, the scuttlebutt in the industry is that at some point all the Rogers sports properties may end up being kind of brought under one person or one office, and that's probably one person. You hear a lot of things. Obviously, once the sale of the Leafs goes through next summer, there's the the deadline, or deadline's probably the wrong word, by the date by which Larry Tannenbaum has to sell off his share. I mean, the thought process for the past, I would say the past 6 months, has been that at some point everything will be combined into one, and you know, ownership may look for other investors to come in and assume a share of whatever that conglomerate or whatever that body is called. I mean, it is a way of, and I don't pretend to, I'm certainly not I have a hard enough time keeping track of my own accounts, let alone a multi-billion dollar industry. But the thinking seems to be it is a way to unlock value from some of the aspects of this company that currently aren't getting full value from shareholders. So there is that whole thing happening. And how is that going to look? Will there be one person overseeing everything? Will there be, what will the role of the president be? We've already seen in the case of the Maple Leafs that they're not going to have a president. The thinking is that Brad Treliving may end up being president and GM with Keith Pelly, however you want to split the titles up, with Keith Pelly kind of at the top of the, the top of the masthead, if you want to call it that, to borrow a newspaper term. Is TFC going to have a president? I mean, what happens with Masai Ujiri? So there are a whole bunch of things sort of in the background here. And that, I would think, would obviously have an impact on the Blue Jays front office. In terms of efficiency, I don't know what Keith meant when he was talking about the Leafs, because I'm not familiar with it. I have no idea sort of what he's seeing. When it comes to the Blue Jays, the thing I tend to focus on, and the thing most people tend to focus on, I think, Kevin, is the payroll. And, keep in mind that in baseball, yes, there is a luxury tax, but there's no salary cap. So I think the definition of efficiency is different for the baseball team than it is for the hockey team. Like, if I'm paying Vladdy all this money, I don't think, right, it doesn't seem to fall that you would at any point while you have Vladdy under contract tear the team down and try to rebuild. That would just seem to be silly.
You wouldn't think so.
That would seem to be silly. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but it is, that's kind of, it's going to be one of the big stories in the Toronto sports scene in the next year, is what does this thing look like when it's all done? What does that mean for the individual teams? What does that mean for the people that are currently in place? But Shlomo, Kevin, I mean, you could talk to this as well. I will say this. This is a big payroll, and the team isn't performing. You're not getting production for the money you're paying. Starting pitchers, you've done well on the free agent market paying for starting pitchers. You really have. I would argue that's been the most successful thing you've done, is gone out in the market and spent money on starting pitchers, and to a certain degree.
Well, money's coming off the books too, right? Pitcher. I mean, Mr. Rogers will be spending less money next year. What's Bo going to be? What will you spend going into next year? Like, the payroll is going to change. It may be considerably lower going into next year.
I don't think it'll be considerably lower. I mean, you'll take the money and you'll reallocate it elsewhere. It's not going to be considerably lower.
Well, we'll see what's on the market, right? I mean,
I would be surprised if it would be considerably lower. But in terms of efficiency, look at the lineup today. You got a $210 million payroll, and ask yourself if that looks like a $210 million lineup to you. Can't put it any other way. 2-0 the Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers. They've won the series. They'll start a 3-game series against the Athletics tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Plessisville and Victoriaville, Quebec. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.